Hello everyone, good afternoon. I welcome you to our Red Risk Live Show. And today we have a special guest. We will be talking about Niboš. And we will be talking about Niboš future qualifications, assessments. Should you have any questions, please feel free. We have a chat. Feel free to ask your questions. And I'm sure we will try to answer most of your questions today. And my guest is Matt Powell Howard, who is the head of learning and partnership in Niboš. So let me run the introduction and intro on Matt.
Matt Powell Howard graduated in safety and environmental management from the University of Hull and holds a Master of Arts degree in education from the University of York. Matt worked initially in the chemical process industry in the UK for a number of top-tier COMA sites before moving on to HSE roles in consultancy, manufacturing, construction, quarrying and the hydrocarbon industries. Matt joined Niboš in 2006 and has held various roles during that time. Matt is currently the Niboš Head of Learning and Partnerships with responsibility for the development of partnered Niboš products and qualifications. Matt has over 20 years of experience in HSE and is a chartered safety and health practitioner. Welcome to the show, Matt Powell Howard.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'll be joining today with my stream team members. So welcome, Charlie. Welcome, team. And of course,
Hello.
Welcome, Matt.
Hey, yeah, great to be here.
Yes, Hello, good to be here. So Niboš, and I would like to be very honest with you. I'm very proud to talk about Niboš today because I'm a learning partner, because I'm a holder of Niboš qualifications. But I'm sure there's so many people around the globe. Maybe they've heard about Niboš. Maybe they've got the questions about Niboš qualifications. Today, we're talking about 55,000 learners every year gaining Niboš qualifications. We're talking about 33 qualifications developed so far. So again, should you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. So Matt, welcome. Welcome very much. I think the first question, please team and Charlie join me should you have any questions. But I think as an introduction to Niboš, during our stream team meeting, Jorge, who is a stream team member, he told me that he've never ever heard about Niboš before. And we're telling that Niboš is a global standard, and I do believe in that. And it's a globally recognized qualification, recognized by many organizations. Matt, give us an introduction to Niboš, a very short one.
Well, you are quite right. We are, I would say, I feel very confident saying this, we are the leading brand when it comes to competency-based health and safety and environmental less so, but certainly health and safety related qualifications. We do our assessments, I think, well, last year was an anomaly, wasn't it? Let's gloss over 2020, but under normal times, and even so, last year we were still very, very busy. 130-ish countries around the world. We tend to follow hydrocarbons, construction, heavy engineering, typically outside of the UK. In the UK, it's a more diverse background, the people who undertake our qualifications. But it's the springboard to a career in health and safety management by undertaking Niboš quals. And we work very hard with local government throughout the world in getting our qualifications recognized as a badge of quality when it comes to health and safety knowledge, understanding, application. And we're a charity, fundamentally, you know, an old school examination board.
Tell us more about this charity, man.
So our purpose is to improve the world of work in terms of health, safety, environmental well-being and risk-based competency. So wherever people can undertake our qualifications delivered by our network of expert training providers, and Janet, you mentioned you're one of them, then we can really bring some quality and some assurance within the workplaces where these people are working. So it's twofold, really. People look to hire individuals who have Niboš qualifications because they know they have that benchmark of quality behind them. And people voluntarily study our qualifications as well because they want to progress their careers. And it was certainly the case for myself. You know, you mentioned in the intro there, Sonny mentioned I was working in chemical industry. I was shop steward. I started out in a union background, saw the opportunity within health and safety. It was something I wanted to pursue. And NIBOSH got me to where I am now. So I was NIBOSH qualified long before I actually started working for NIBOSH. So it gives you options, NIBOSH qualifications.
Yeah, I think the start goes up to September 1979. This is where this history started. 33 qualifications. Charlie, you raised your hand. Do you have a question for Matt?
I've got a variety. Nice to see you, Matt.
And you, Charlie.
Yeah. I've got a variety of questions. I'll give you a lot of back. I work predominantly, we were talking about this off screen just before you came on. I have worked predominantly over the last 8 to 10 years in the Middle East, and we were saying that this global aspect of NIBOSH versus the sort of UK-centric way of people breaking into the occupational health and safety profession is in the UK, you've got a variety of options. And obviously quality and high standards are absolutely paramount. However, the further out, the further you spread around the different countries, that lack of that integrity and the gold standard and the quality aspect, I'm being generalizing here, tends to drop off. But pretty much over the last 8 to 10 years, everyone that I come in contact with that wants to move forward, they've either got an IOSH managing safely or got some variety of other qualifications, and they will predominantly want to go through the NIBOSH IGC route. There's two guys that I've worked with recently on a previous project. The two of them have just started doing their NIBOSH IGC through a training provider in Riyadh. But I think one of the things that I want to look at here, Matt, is do you see a decline in UK requirements for NIBOSH with a rise of NIBOSH requirements out with the UK? Because again, we were talking about this off screen, is that there's a variety of routes into the occupational health and safety profession within the UK. You can either do your degree or you can do your NVQ or whatever it is, but there are a variety of processes. But again, once you come out of that, the UK centric, if you will, the options start to become limited. So I'm really interested if you've seen a drop off with the basics at NIBOSH in general, all that sort of thing, compared with an uptick globally.
No, I mean, you've alluded to a few things there, really, Charlie. I absolutely agree with you. You're starting from a different place sometimes internationally, you know, in terms of what's available, where the standard is as well, you know. I would say, caveat that with Sanam, to some of the best health and safety practice I've seen have been in places like in Bahrain, GPIC, do amazing stuff. And then you've got some really horrible standards, as you will have seen, Charlie, in your travels, I'm sure. The UK, our market, has actually been, we get some growth year on year. You know, it's still fine. We're not seeing any tailing off, I'm very pleased to say. Internationally, in some countries, the growth was, I've been here a long time now. So about 10 years ago, there was exponential growth when people really started recognizing the value that, you know, not just what NIBOSH qualifications can bring, but actually that people are obligated to look after their people.
Of course,
and if you look after them properly, they'll get dividends. So without, you know, we all know that. It's a good thing. Yeah, it improves quality, it improves la, 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 la. Internationally, we find our learners, interestingly, tend to be younger internationally than they are in the UK. So actually the demographic can be quite different as well. So internationally, a lot of people might already have a first degree before they then, you know, and some people won't have much as well. It's fascinating actually where learners come from internationally. Some people do it because they want a career. Some people, they do it because they want a way out of their circumstances. And that's not too different actually from the UK, but we find our demographic tends to be a bit older. It's still more atypically somebody with an engineering bias. Again, this is changing, and this is what makes it interesting in the UK. When I first started, typically it was a male learner aged between 35 and 45, looking to start an almost a second or third career going down the health and safety route. Yeah. And we do find, you'll know this as well, health and safety practitioners in the UK typically tend to be aspiring towards that diploma level, degree, master's level type qualification, MVQ 5-6. Internationally, we're still in a place where certificate level qualifications, you can still get fairly senior roles and you may not progress onto that diploma level qualification. Again, that's changing. And our numbers for the international diploma continue to grow and grow and grow. So it doesn't seem to stay very static internationally is the honest answer. It changes and it can differ from country to country. As I mentioned at the beginning, the Middle East, because we follow, the hydrocarbon industry, we work very hard to get our qualifications recognized. Okay. The Middle East is our biggest region in terms of geographical reach. As a single country, the UK still performs incredibly well for us. But whenever we develop a UK-based qualification, we now always have an international variant as well, because it's so important to us. Right. We are an international organization, and that's firmly how we position ourselves. Yeah. Even though we're based in Leicester, we are an international organization, and we have that footprint. And we have our footprint largely through our network of providers. They do an amazing job for us. I don't know if that answered your question, but
I'm sure Tim and Jeanette will agree with me. I think this is wide ranging, and I don't think we're going to sort of pigeonhole a lot of things, because what I see is a downturn in sort of Dubai construction is kind of tailing off a little bit, and where all of a sudden now Saudi Arabia with the 2030 vision, the work is going to skyrocket.
Exactly.
Residential infrastructure, hydrocarbons, airports, hospitals, you name it. There is such a huge drive now to improve the infrastructure within Saudi Arabia, and particularly within that sort of NEOM area in the north, the northwest, and also that sort of trifecta of sort of Riyadh, Dammam, and Jeddah. And
Karen, is that okay? I'll just want to say that our chat is very active.
Oh, go
on. So many people joining us today. Thank you so much. Yeah. I see that some of them are even our learners. So happy to see you. So I would like to say thank you to Darlington, Mohammed, Louisa, Pavel. So everyone, welcome. Darren, and there is a question, the first question, Matt, for you. So will the new to be released as a FIVE certification suite of qualifications fall below the level of NIBOSH FIVE qualification currently available?
I honestly don't know anything about I know they're doing a certificate through to diploma, I think. Other than that, I haven't looked at it. There are actually, and I think Charlie alluded to it a moment ago, there's such a choice now when it comes to health and safety qualifications. So in some ways, it's a buyer's market. They need to decide what they want in terms of recognition, in terms of community standing. I mean, we often get people trying to draw us into defaming other people's products. And actually, some people choose to operate like that. We don't. You have to look at what you want from a product and what you need. And I always direct people to a syllabus and go, look, look at the learning outcomes, look at the assessment methodology. How do you learn best? And what recognitions does that qualification and that product have within the market? And that should guide somebody in terms of a product. But in terms of talking about other people's products, I couldn't comment. I think ours are great. I know what effort goes into them, not unsurprisingly. But I don't think that product's been released yet. Anyway, Jeanette, I think it's sort of a coming soon type thing. So
I just would like to mention everyone who's listening that NIBOSH provides different level of qualification. I think it's worth mentioning that, starting from award, certification, diploma, all the way to the master's degree. That's why take your time, visit the website, and you have a lot of information, and it's clearly written about the expectation, the syllabus. But taking that note, I would like to welcome our new member of our stream team, Tim. Hi, Tim, and welcome to your first show.
Thank you.
Welcome. Tim, do you have any questions? Because after that, I would like to take more questions from the chat.
Yeah, and Matt, it was very, very good to meet you. And you one of the things I was interested in, I gather that NEBOSH have introduced a scholarship for aspiring health and safety professionals. It would be interesting just to hear a bit more about that and how that's come about.
Yeah, no, I'm actually one of the judges on that as well, Tim. So I'm really happy to talk about it. Yeah, you know, it's right up our street in terms of our charitable remit, really, giving people the opportunity to get a fully funded diploma, you know. So I wish I knew the question was coming, because I would have given you an idea of the type of questions that we've asked within terms of the scholarship program. But there's a really clear criteria written. It's open to everybody, wherever they are in the world. You know, if you are successful in terms of the application, and you're based internationally, then it's the international diploma for you. So it's really nice to give something. For a while, we've sponsored products on for Safety Groups UK. For the charity Safety Group. So we would fund the assessment costs, and we'd work with a learning partner to provide training for somebody within the charity sector. And that still stands. But this is specifically for the diploma, for somebody who has a clear career goal, something they would absolutely like to focus their efforts in terms of the assignments, and you know, just someone who's really aspiring and somebody who inspires us when we go through the application. So we've had a very good response so far, actually, Tim, as you can imagine. Some people, unfortunately, aren't reading the application as well as they could. So, you know, there's a bit of a cool going down before it gets to the judging panel, but we'll be judging that later in May, I think. The other panelists are great. You know, we've got a really good team together, and everybody's so excited to be part of it, which is fab as well. So we're hoping, certainly our chief exec Chris Payne, is something that we can continue to offer, and maybe even grow it as an annual thing. We'll have to see how it goes, but it's really nice, especially in the light of where we all are and the challenging time people have had. Some people who might not be able to access that training otherwise without the funding. Fantastic.
It's an absolutely great opportunity. Oh, there is a question from Vince about the competency. What are the things? Is a mix of skill, knowledge, ability, training, experience. How far does NEBOSH certificate and NEBOSH diploma take the candidate in the competency journey? Good question.
Yeah, no, it is a good question. You will have seen now that the direction our assessments are going are very much around application based. And now, we would always have argued before we went down the new assessment methodology we do with the open book assessments, they were always based on application of learning, you know, putting yourself in a certain scenario and providing a response to that based on the controls or the hazard you'd be presented with. Where we're hamstrung is there's still an awful lot of myths out there about NEBOSH that people like to continue to push out, that it's a memory game, that it's this, that it's that. And that's, you know, just lazy, to be honest. It's not been that way for years and years and years. There are times when, as practitioners, we actually do need an element of recall. We just do. Despite what somebody will tell you, you're going to be found lacking if you aren't able at certain times to be very clear where something's in breach. But actually, the role of the practitioner is changing, and the days of somebody walking around with a copy of Redgrave under their arm, you know, some of us all maybe remember that, you know, that old kind of officer type role, those days are long gone. And now we are expected to have baby great communicators, to be able to put a business case together, you know, all these key skills. And actually, the diploma caters for that as much as it does giving you that solid technical expertise as well. And with the new way we assess the international panel certificate, it's all application based, because it's based on a case study. Certainly, there might be an instance when you go, okay, tell us how you would control contractors. And actually, it's very difficult to do that in an application based, because the way you control contractors, it doesn't matter if you're working in a refinery in terms of selection, or if you're working in the food industry, you know, you're going to do those pre-checks, which are broadly similar. So there is always going to be a small element of very factual based content we look for, but everything else will be application based, and that is, you know, helps inform that competency approach. The issue I have, and this is my own particular axe I have to grind, is that sometimes someone will come to me and go, "Oh, we've taken this person on in a role. They've got the NEBOSH certificate and they don't know anything. And you go, okay, so what form of interview did you go through? What checks did you go? You know, did you speak to that? And actually some people are hired purely off the back of having a NEBOSH qualification. Well, if you hire anybody off the back of just having a qualification, I would question that, you know. Yeah. So, you know, personally.
Yeah, we have so many questions, Matt. And here's the question from Mal. But coming back to your comment on the OBE, Open Book Examination, I think we have a lot of questions about that. And I remember August 2020. There was a lot of questions and discussions going everywhere in social media between learning providers. Open Book Examination, it's about quality, how we're going to assess our qualifications. That level of standard, or we're used to golden standard of NEBOSH qualifications. I'm talking as a provider right now to you, Matt, that I've been told when I joined NEBOSH that it's easy to get an approval to be a learning provider, but it's very difficult to maintain that level of learning provider because of the quality control. But I don't want to talk for you, Matt. Tell us more about, because we have so many questions now from Mohammed talking about the open book examination. Why do I have to go through, what is it, since NEBOSH IDC is an open book examination, why do I have to go through an institute to study? So, and many, many, many more questions I have on the chat with regards to the open book examination.
Yeah, well, when it comes to doing the study, we need to be very clear about the people who we are contracting with, so our learning partners. And I you know, many moons ago I used to be the accreditation manager, so things have changed a lot since then. My another one of my colleagues now heads up our learner partner quality, so I'm not 100% up to speed with what our requirements are currently. But in terms of being a learner, what I would say is you learn so much from being with a great tutor team. You learn an awful lot from your fellow delegates on the course, you know, and actually a great tutor will allow that debate and that discussion, be it online via e-learning or be it in the classroom or live online. Your learning partner is there to help, guide, support, mentor, take you through, and actually the controls are in place for that to be a great experience. That's why we go down that route. There's an added value. It also protects from malpractice because we know the person doing the assessment is the one who's been through the training. All those controls are there for that reason, and you know, and that's just the system. Now, in terms of the open book, we have wanted to change assessments within terms of the International General Certificate and National General Certificate for a long time, but there was always a pushback in terms of what would be acceptable from our network of providers and from our previous people who responded. Actually, COVID gave us the reason and the impetus to change how we assess. It's just as robust as the written exams. It's just different. And I think that's what upsets people. When you just change something, it seems to send people into a tailspin. But interestingly, now when we first changed it, everyone was up in arms. Now people have seen those assessments and they can see how we are assessing the International General Certificate and National General Certificate. They can see that the standard is the same, and actually it's now going the other way, where people are saying, and I know I sound like I'm putting a positive spin on this, we are never going to please all of the people the time. And it's pointless even trying. But I would say, you know, from an assessment perspective, it's what we do. It's what we're experts in. It's a great vehicle. And it really does test understanding. And pass rates have remained broadly the same as well. You know, so it's not been without its challenges for our learning partners. It's not been without our challenges for our learners. But it's working, and it's working really well. And people are having a great opportunity to show what they know. So.
Yeah, there is another question from Mohammed, but I think we partially answered that question. For everyone who is listening and you don't have an idea what we're talking about, just for your information, NEBOSH switched in August 2020 from invigilated examination to the open book examination. And the main focus and the main change was about the practical application of your knowledge and not only theory. But I can assure you that the quality is there and the standards are there. But another question, Tim, I think you had another question, if I remember well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way the discussion is going, it generates lots of opportunity for questions, but Matt, much appreciated. Matt, I was interested in the fact that you've now got a process safety certificate,
yep.
Process safety management. And I was thinking about, given the growth in offshore wind, is there any opportunity or are there any thoughts about moving to support that particular environment?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tim, actually, and it's something that I've spent a bit of time in the past looking at as well. So offshore wind's really, I first looked at it probably about 10 years ago, actually, and it seemed a bit that the standards were still being decided on and how people were. It was almost like HSE said to the industry, go on then, you tell us how you're going to do this safely. They really threw the gauntlet down. It was a very different approach to what you do in terms of, you know, onshore process safety, where it's, you know, incredibly regulated, with it being a brand new industry, if you like.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, what's the standard? And then there seemed to be lots of conflicting groups all sort of battling for the upper hand, and it was quite difficult to see where the standard was. You know, normally it's quite, you know, we can go to HSE guidance, we can go to ISO standards, we can go to the ILO and go, right, where is the standard? But it seems to be now that there seems to be a clearer proposition. So only recently, probably, I've lost track of time because last year was so weird. I think it was last year I met with Siemens to start looking again to see where, you know, to see whether or not we could occupy a space within renewables and certainly offshore and onshore, and try to get a feel for what the footfall's like. I mean, I wasn't entirely clear how many people work in that field. You know, looking at photovoltaics, for example, and Charlie will know this, you know, these huge sort of solar farms that they have in, say, Saudi, there's probably only about 5 people work there, and the rest is sort of security, you know, because whenever we produce something, first and foremost, it needs to be academically sound. Secondly, of course, there needs to be a commercial need and requirement for it. Otherwise, it will be an expensive failure. So really open to having that conversation, Tim, with anybody who still wants to talk to us. I think it's a lovely opportunity and it's important work. And let's face it, renewables, wind is part of the solution. You know, it really is. So
very much so. Now, I think there's some interesting interfaces there as well, because you've got wind farm operators. So you've got the transportation and construction offshore. Then you know, within the construction bit, you've got a lot of mariners involved. You've got IMCA. Who may well be interested in this sort of thing as well. So I think there's a huge amount of potential there, because they are similar but slightly new hazards.
Yeah, and I think you've alluded to two things. I think there's almost two products, isn't there? There's the construction phase, and then there's the operations phase, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, almost two products. Mm-hmm. But we're really open to having that. We haven't got anywhere with it, Tim, in all honesty, at the minute. But I think it's one of those ones that we'll keep revisiting until we do get somewhere with it. There's an absolute market, I think, somewhere along the line, be it partnered or otherwise, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Matt.
There is another question from Vince, and we're going to answer that question. But I would like to stop on that discussion with Siemens and with other partners. So, Matt, how qualifications are developed and how do you set that cooperation with different partners, locally, internationally, like with IOSH, with HSE, because I'm looking at the number of new certification, new qualifications. Could you tell us more about how qualifications are developed? How do you cooperate with them?
Yeah, so, I mean, some of it is just really just looking to see where the groundswell for where we can offer some value actually is. So the PSM qualification is a good example that Tim just mentioned. That started off with me going out to talk to employers who are the end users of our products across, you know, throughout the UK and internationally, to see what they thought of the oil and gas certificate that we also offer. And generally, they felt the oil and gas certificate offered really good value and quality. However, what they wanted was more of a focus on process safety management. So off the back of that, I started pulling together, and that's my background as a process op when I was a boy. I started pulling together a process safety certificate, looking at, you know, best practice, standards, etc. And at the same time, we were talking to HSE about working together. So that's how that then morphed into a joint product. But in terms of producing a specification, what we do not do is work in isolation, because there's no way you'll know whether or not it's right. You know, just having the opinion of me, you know, oh yeah, I know this, this is my environment. You know, you're not going to, the more somebody looks at something and the more people look at something to a point, the better a product will be, 100%. So when we develop a new syllabus, we then bring together a panel of employers and we test that syllabus with those employers to make sure that they think it is valid, that it offers value. And it is going to solve a problem within the world of work. That's how we do it. And then when we have that, we sometimes pilot if it's complex. So the PSM qualification was piloted, and we piloted that in the UK. We piloted it internationally. And actually off the back of the pilot, we changed the assessment because the assessment wasn't quite right. We did a few, brought the panel back together, reported on the pilot, tweaked the syllabus, and then it's launched as a product, you know, and there's lots of other boring meetings around that, making sure that we get the level right and we get it approved when required by our regulator SQA. And then the approvals process from people like IOSH, if it's a diploma or a certificate, BCSP, you know, all these other very, very important organizations, that's just all part of the development process to get their recognition and that sort of seal on it as well. But it involves meeting with, developing a qualification involves meeting with lots of employers and asking the opinion of our past learners, both successful and unsuccessful, I should say, as well. Because if you just ask, if you're doing it to an existing product and you want to change it because it's up for review, and you ask everybody who already holds that qualification, they will tell you not to change anything and that it's perfect. And for goodness sake, don't change the assessment. And if you go to unsuccessful learners, not unsurprisingly, they generally have an issue with the exam, but often both groups have the same thoughts in terms of the syllabus and what needs to change, what's missing, what is, you know, what should remain. So it's just lots and lots of consultation. If you do something in isolation, you end up with a not very good product. Is the honest answer.
Team Charlie, just feel free to join. But there is one question I would like to take. Darlington, he's from Africa, I guess. Nigeria, sorry. If there is a master's degree distance learning, can someone do it from Nigeria?
Yeah. I would say the costs internationally can be very expensive. It's just the way the UK education university system is set up. But we have... I do some academic supervision on the Hull Masters, and we do have some international learners. Brexit hasn't done us any favours, unfortunately. Some of the costs have now gone up for European students, but it's absolutely possible. We get quite a few learners from out of the Middle East. We haven't had anybody yet from Nigeria. It'd be fantastic to have somebody from Nigeria. We work with the British Council in getting guarantees regarding ID and that sort of thing. But nearly all of the masters actually can be taught remotely. And it's very driven by, self-learning, actually, the diploma. It's the nature of doing the masters. It's the nature of doing a master's qualification.
These are you've got three MRes, haven't you? Because I didn't know about this. I did a bit of sort of research during the week there. But there's three different...
Six different degrees, Charlie. Yeah. So right. we do the MRes, and I think people don't fully understand about the MRes is really prestigious in itself, but it's very driven on one sort of big research product, actually, a dissertation. So if somebody's got a particular thing they really want to explore in depth, then they do the first sort of 6 months is around research methodology, and then you get much more into sort of scoping your dissertation. But we do, where it's slightly confusing is the MRes is an MRes in health and safety, an MRes in health, safety, and environmental management, and an MRes in environment. And then we do MSc, Masters of Science variants as well with all, again, MSc in, you know, health, safety, environmental management, and environmental management. But the MSCs is much more taught, there's a lot more taught modules. So you get into management systems more readily, mental health, corporate social responsibility, which is the one I teach on. Right. And it's sort of your last 6 months then when you focus on your actual research dissertation. Yeah. So we've been doing them now for about Blimey, it must be 7 or 8 years now, I think.
Right.
I think so. Yeah.
Because it's certainly new to me. I didn't realize that you did that, because it's certainly, if you go onto some of your learning providers' websites, you don't really see that. You see the diploma and environmental and all that sort of stuff. Just staying on that subject, and in case there's anybody interested in this, is there a set criteria that you can't go on the MRes unless you've already got a master's or an advanced degree, or can you not, if you're going to do it, do you have to have the diploma? Because I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions coming in about that, you know?
So Charlie, just to be clear, that it's only the University of Hull who can offer the masters, because they're the only ones who have degree awarding powers.
Right.
So you can apply for degree awarding powers, incredibly expensive, and it's never something that we've pursued, but actually the University of Hull, that they award the degree, but it's a NEBOSH University of Hull degree. The only prerequisites is that we look for is a diploma or similar. So if somebody has a level 5-6 MVQ, they'd be accepted onto that MRes MSc variant, or if somebody comes down the degree route, you know, that's an option as well. But we just look for equivalence to a NEBOSH diploma, and if they can demonstrate that, then they can get onto the degrees. I mean, I would say, you know, they're tough. You know, this is sort of two years of solid studies. So people shouldn't do it lightly. But some of the dissertations that people are doing are incredible, and the quality is fantastic, actually. Right. But there's loads of support. But it really is, you know, it's accessible. And I think some people will probably be in their lives where they think, well, I'm never going to be able to hold a degree level. You know, I know that our NEBOSH diploma is actually level 10. So that is degree level. But it obviously a number of hours, and, you know, it's very different. It's a very different thing. So doing the whole master's gives you that opportunity. And there are other people as well who recognize the NEBOSH diploma onto master's. I think Loughborough do and Portsmouth do. So there are a few out there. And internationally, we're always open to working with an international university as well to see about whether we can do something together. They're a really fascinating process, actually.
Yeah, we have so many questions, Matt, coming in. And the first question I would like to take about the environmental diploma from Nathan: when will the environmental certificate diploma change to the new open book standard?
Yeah, good question. We're working on them at the moment, actually, Jeanette. So you'll see all of our products. Perish the thought that we ever have another global pandemic, but certainly learners will be able to access our assessments. You know, that's the direction of travel for us now. We're pursuing them actively at the moment. I think there's a new environmental certificate being worked on currently. You know, there'll be obviously options for people to move across anyway. But the environmental diploma, the environmental certificate, process safety management, all the products we have left that still require you to go and sit in an examination venue, are currently being looked at the moment, and will be released as soon as possible. But obviously, we can't release new assessments until we've tested them, until we're absolutely sure that they're what we want them to be. So watch this space is the answer.
Okay.
Matt, there is a question from Mal. Hi, Mal. Mal is our stream team member. So I worked offshore for 10 plus years. The only requirement today is a GWO. I think we partially covered that with discussion with team. But is there any comment on that?
We're never going to be able to change sort of industry at large in terms of what requirements people want. The process safety qualification and the renewables qualification, if we ever do one, really is there to develop cultural change within that environment where it's being adopted. So, you know, we're always, again, looking to work with organizations to see whether or not we can do it in company for them or elsewhere. We have toyed in the past with doing safety passports and that sort of thing, but there is a raft of them out there that are already providing that solution, actually. So I think it can differ massively by organization in terms of what they expect and what they need. I'm sure Tim, Charlie and yourself have seen this, Janet. You know, the better organizations are very clear in terms of their minimum standards. And that's where we engage with them really to get our quals recognized on competency matrices to sort of say, actually, this might be acceptable in other areas, but this is what we want in terms of competency of our people.
It's interesting what you're, because we talked about this just before we came on screen, and you've mentioned competency a few times, and it's obviously driving the way that NEBOSH is going in the open book exam and things like that. What's the future with regards to NEBOSH? For instance, in the UK, you've now got the NCQR Level 6 diploma, which is a bit of a hybrid between exam, practical application, and it's become, and it's very, 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 very popular. Is NEBOSH, is there a desire for NEBOSH to sort of sidestep or move into NVQ territory or do something similar?
No. I think the NCRQ product, again, without sort of, what they were very clever with was that when you're a new entrant to a market,
yeah,
And you're not known, what you are is disruptive, and they were very disruptive when they started.
Is that a good way or a bad way?
I personally would have done things differently, but hey, right. You know, they've been successful in it, so good on them. Right. And actually, yeah. Those people who I know have undertaken the NCRQ product, they've been pleased with it. So, you know, I will not, you know, we never do, as NEBOSH, get involved in defaming other people's products. You know, let them, that's fine. Right. That's fine. Yeah. However, with the new, their assessments are based on case studies. You know, despite what some of the advertising might say, you know, it's based on, they're based on case studies. They're not based on you going out into your own workplace, whatever. Right. And actually, our new diplomas have been released, and our diplomas are based on case studies and actually based on application in the workplace as well. Right. So MVQs, for a long time, completely different products, as you know, and actually the MVQ, the MVQ market is huge.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some people, MVQs are a perfect product for them in terms of assessment, because they may not like that sort of assignment driven type approach. They would much rather demonstrate what it is they do. The only issue with MVQs is that you're demonstrating your knowledge and understanding in a particular industry or environment, and sometimes you're going to struggle to demonstrate a wider understanding. But it goes back to the point I made a moment ago, really, is that you need to decide as a learner what it is you want from a product and what you want in terms of recognition. And all I can say about NEBOSH products is that when somebody has a NEBOSH qualification, they don't feel the need to justify it.
No.
And that's not always the case with other products that are out there.
Okay, that's a good point.
And that's probably about as strong as I'm prepared to go, Charlie, if that's...
well, not putting on the spot in any shape or form.
I
can only support you, Matt, on that.
Oh, thanks, Janet.
Because, and I'm not supporting, not because being as a learning provider, just because I follow our learners. So we have 400 learners, and they do share their stories. And their stories are successful. And I think here it's important to mention that NEBOSH provides an opportunity for someone around the globe who doesn't have any other chances to do any other courses. And if they want to start their career in health and safety, that's a very good start for anyone. And we can see that. Maybe it's not in UK, but you can see it in Poland, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. You can see it in India. So answering that question, I believe that I fully support you, Matt, on that.
Yeah.
It's like there is no questions. But we still have some questions, and I would like to put, from Jorge question. Jorge is our stream team member. Does NEBOSH recognize other certificates from other countries if a person would like to access a certificate of NEBOSH?
We don't do any recognized prior learning of any other's products, because you can't tell what the assessment methodology is behind it. A few years ago, Ofqual, who's one of the regulators in England, they started looking to see about how you can do recognized prior learning, and almost that you'd get credits if you did other people's qualifications. And it was going to be massively complex, cause huge problems for our learning partners. But ultimately we would struggle to be satisfied that people have been, I'm sorry, the lighting's so bad here, by the way. The sun's just coming down. We need to be sure that people have been through the same route, they've had the same learning, that the learning outcomes similar have been tested. So no, we don't recognize, obviously we recognize the value in other people's qualifications, but they don't lead to any sort of fast tracking with our own forms of assessment. Sometimes you can, if people have got, for example, if they're CSP recognized in the States, they can get fast tracked through to the assessments on the diploma. However, they still need to do the assessments.
Yeah,
you know, that's unequivocal. So, Jenny, I just wanted to pick up on a point you said about NBOSH quals, and I don't know if it helps people, but you know, I often reflect on my own route through. I was a process op, so process operator. You know, doing okay, quite enjoying. I'm just going to move my chair so I'm not stop being blinded. You know, doing okay in my career, but I didn't have many options, you know, and that was the issue. And the reason why, and then I started doing a NBOSH National Diploma Certificate, and then, you know, I'm so old, I did the Diploma Part 1 and Diploma Part 2 and the Environmental Diploma, and that ultimately led me towards a degree and da-da-da. But NBOSH qualifications gave me the career I've had, and it's taken me to places in the world. You know, Charlie, I know you're well-traveled, Tim, I'm not sure what your background is, but, you know, it just opens doors for you professionally, and it changes your outlook on life, actually. And we come up against that time and time again, where people just say, look, I did a NBOSH qualifications, and it gave me options, and it gave me a career I never thought I'd have. And without, you know, sort of getting all, you know, righteous, actually, it's an important career to have working in health and safety. You know, you're working with people. So wherever there's people, there's interest, there's challenges, and ultimately you can do things that can really make a big difference. Not always, not every day, not every week, not every month, but often you can challenge things, and actually you'll not know what a difference you've made often as well. Sure. You know, so sure. I would say to any, you know,
Matt, anyway. What you were talking about international experience there, one of the things that just occurred to me, if we look at the ISO standards and how they've changed in very recent years, so you've got 9001, now 45001, what was 18001, 14001, all using a very similar nomenclature and all using risk in very, very similar way. So I was just wondering, is there anything there that NBOSH are going to get involved with in terms of adopting that same commonality?
Yeah, well, we already do in terms of our certificate back in the day. NBOSH General and International Certificates used to be folded up. Do you remember the old Popamar model, Tim? It was part of HSG 65. That's how we used to structure our qualifications, actually. And then when 45,000, when 18,000 came in, we changed it more to a plan, do, check, act type structure. So that's, and you know, and that's embedded and fundamental to the structure of our certificate level qualifications. In terms of risk and how risk is adopted, we have a new qualification with the Health and Safety Executive looking at you know, sensible and proportionate risk management, but also we're working with the Institute of International Risk and Safety Management on a more enterprise risk management type product to encourage practitioners to start thinking about the wider risks of their organization, like pandemics, like supplier chain, you know, all those bits. So that's coming out, being piloted, I think, this summer, and we'll be launching that product kind of sort of early autumn of 2021. But yeah, risk and the profile of risk and the priority of risk, certainly with COVID, that was where everybody rushed to on the HC website. I know it's 2021, but people still seem to sort of struggle a little bit with what proportionate means and what sensible means. I could see us doing a sweep through, you know, eventually around that sort of intro. This is what risk assessment means. This is what enterprise risk management means. This is what, you know, because ultimately, I think there's a groundswell now where we're going to start seeing risk directors on boards, you know, where, who knows, maybe safety people will be reporting into health and safety people. You know, we're in for an interesting 10, 15, 20 years, I think.
Well, what's that, Gary?
There is a question, Matt, from Alison about the Masters of Science. How long does it take to complete a Newborn's diploma?
It's a two-year program. So it's a two-year academic cycle. So if somebody started in 2021, they'll be looking to graduate in 2023. Yeah, so that was an easy one. More of those.
So greetings to all the international delegates. What kind changes can we expect in the unis from the latest announcement of NIBOSH International Diploma for Health and Safety Professionals, and how this is going to make an impact in our career progression? Thank you.
So the diploma, we certainly haven't thrown away the old diploma. You know, there's some really essential understanding for practitioners in there, but there is some new content just to reflect the requirements of the blueprint, Irish blueprint, INCHPO framework. So I don't know if everyone's familiar with INCHPO, which is the International Safety and Health Practitioner Organizations. They have a framework for the skills and understanding that practitioners should have. That's built into the revised diploma. Ultimately, you know, we've only got a limited number of hours we can play with. So people will certainly recognize it as a product which is tried, tested, recognized, but there is some new content in there as well, and the assessments are have been drafted. If people are interested, they can go onto NIBOSH website. The syllabus is on there for people to take a look at, but it's not to take away from people who already are diploma qualified. You know, it's not there to replace that. That's a qualification that's there with them for life and as valid as ever.
Any link for these courses?
Yeah, well, the role of, it depends what Mohammed means by courses. If he's interested in the specifications and the syllabuses and the assessment methodologies, they're all available on our website. In terms of accessing the courses, you can also search for our network of learning partners and those who are both running courses and those who are accredited to deliver our content. So not unsurprisingly, it's the website. It's where we all have to go now, isn't it, for any information. So,
Oh, yeah, there is another question. so we hear those nominals, including NIBOSH DIP. Is that legitimate to use professionally?
Yeah, you know, mine, I think, were DIP to OSH. I don't know if Tim or Charlie have got any of our quals, but, you know, there's people love a post, people love a post nominal, don't they? And, you know, you get them on the environmental DIP, you get them for the DIP 2, obviously your degrees, your MAs, whatever. But yeah, they're perfectly fine. I can't remember what the diploma post-nominal is. I don't think it was the one which Vince just put up there. It may be. But yeah, there's a clearly defined set of post-nominals which are included within the guide. And people hold the diploma should use them. Yeah, they're very proud of them.
Why not? They need to be proud of that. There is nothing to hide.
I think that's a very good question you posed there, Matt. I've got three NIBOSH quals. That was enough for me, and I did those three. But I understand we one of our regular contributors, a chap called Martin, has got six NIBOSH qualifications, and I seen recently somebody maybe even had. There you go, Martin Jones has got six, and I'm sure I read recently, perhaps it was even on LinkedIn, where somebody might even have gone into double figures. Has got to be you've got to have some. Yeah, this is what I've got to do, and they've really just gone from one to the other, one to the other, one to the other, and it's an interesting question. You must know out there, no names, no pack drill, there must be somebody you know that has got the most NIBOSH qualifications. There must be somebody sitting at the top of the tree somewhere.
Charlie, you're right. You know, people collect NIBOSH quals, the guy I'm thinking of, Jonathan, actually, I don't know if Jonathan gets invited to many parties, but he jumps on as soon as NIBOSH quals come out. And is and actually, Jonathan's just got his PhD as well.
Wow, so right, okay.
A guy called Jonathan Backhouse, every qualification we release, Jonathan signs up for it. But there are a few like Jonathan. Right. And actually, people just really, it's almost a hobby for some people, you know, where they go, right, I just want to undertake that. For lots of other people, you know, me included, I mean, I live and breathe it every day, but I'd got as far as I needed to, and, you know,
likewise,
some people, do they love it, and they love that challenge. Just as you often see now, more and more I find on LinkedIn, people are, you know, grabbing books and giving book recommendations, and it's almost like the same they do with the products. But sometimes we find that lots of practitioners will do our new courses to see whether or not they want it for their own people. That's why they do it as well. So sometimes there's a method. I say method behind the madness. That's not fair to Jonathan. Jonathan's just somebody who just soaks up knowledge. But, you know, there's a few like him who do just, oh, that's for me, I'm going to sign up to that and self-study it.
So, I think one of the reasons is that I think it's a known product. They know the people. They might go, they might jump around with different learning providers, but it's the same process, and they understand it and things like that. And then there's the learning aspect in the exam. It's very structured, and I think you get a level of being comfortable with that, and you're not having to go and do other things. So I think the suite of courses now is phenomenal. I think I'm not sure what the total
33 qualifications.
How many is that? Sorry.
33 qualifications.
33, right. Okay, I think you mentioned that earlier on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 33.
I think this is the last question we take for tonight, if you don't
mind. All right, okay. Sure.
I have 3 certificates and currently Unit A and B of diploma, hopefully Unit D and I and Unit C by September. And so I think it's more a statement.
Yeah, Nathan.
Yeah, well done.
Brilliant.
Keep going.
I need a new card. I've had my Nibosh Deep in 1994. Didn't know I was allowed to use those.
Oh, Vince, I think going back to 1994, so you would have done the old 5-part diploma. So I don't know what the rules are actually with a 5-part diploma, but if get me on LinkedIn and I'll find out for you. We'll have a look back through the archives. So, it's important that people, you know, celebrate the success, even if it was a long time ago, you know.
One more question, Matt, but just the chat being so busy tonight. Any changes on fire certificates?
The new fire certificate's already been launched as far as I'm aware. Yeah, it's available. Jeanette, you're nodding. You know more about this than I do. I mean, I tend to look at new products, but it's already out there. It's already launched. It's very much different assessment methodology, very much focused on undertaking a fire risk assessment using the PAS standard, you know, based on the PAS standard, I think. So,
any closing notes, Tim and Charlie, from you guys?
Certainly not from me. I'm bearing in mind, I think, what Sonny said to us recently. He's pretty much told us all to shut up and let the guests do the talking. So I think we've achieved that tonight, Matt. So holding back and saying, shut up, just let the guests do the talking.
I was going to say thank you as well, Matt. It's been hugely informative. Very, very.
I'm glad. I mean, I certainly, Tim, you know, if you ever want to have a chat about renewables outside this meeting, same with you, Charlie, you know, obviously Saudi is a big important area for us. Not surprisingly, we focus a lot of our efforts around Aramco and that sort of area. Yeah. Demand has always been quite good for us. I know my colleagues in our international, one of my colleagues who works internationally is certainly looking to see how we can grow things more readily in Saudi. So, okay. Charlie, if it'd be great to pick your brains. You see, you've got your finger on the pulse there.
Yeah. Not a problem. Yeah, open book. Brilliant.
Let me just maybe to thank you so much, Matt, for being with us today. We had so many questions. I'm sure we have more questions coming. Cheers from Saudi, Mohammed.
Cheers from Saudi,
Just on closing notes, I've been following 400 learners in Poland and all of them being so thankful because they got a chance, they've got an opportunity. And I would like to thank you for that, Matt, for everything you do. And I'm very happy to be part of that Nibosh family. But I would like to give you this last thought, Matt. Maybe we haven't mentioned anything, maybe new courses, maybe any last thought from your side.
Oh, really? It's just that we're going to be continuing to develop new products, new services, looking to see bring value to people's careers, really, and solutions in those workplaces. I mean, that's all I can say. That's what we're about. That's what we try to do. Continue to use expert training partners, such as yourself, Janet, and just try to really help support in the way that we do that through our network of learning partners and our rigorous awarding procedures. Really, how's that? Oh, 56 seconds over. Look,
no problem. Thank you so much, Charlie. Team,
yeah, welcome as always. Nice meeting you, Matt. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Great, boys. Thank you.
Informative. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Janet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for stopping by and watching that live event. If you want to be notified of future live events, head over to our website. There's a form on there. Hit the subscribe button and I'll update you whenever live events come up. I promise you, no spam. And finally, we do have a YouTube channel. It's just simply Red Risks. Please subscribe and help us. Let's connect, share and learn. Thanks. Catch you on the next live event.